Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Junks. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Continuing to update you throughout the show about the disaster that unfolded around 9 p.m. last night. If you're just waking up or you haven't checked the news, a passenger plane from Wichita was inbound to DCA last night. It collided with a Black Hawk military helicopter, went into the Potomac River. It's being called a recovery mission at this point. 30 bodies have been taken out of the Potomac. The biggest air disaster since 2009 in the United States.
Yeah. And the biggest one here in D.C., obviously, since 1982.
Right. Which, by that kind of
I believe there were five
survivors in that Air Florida crash, which, with the conditions.
There were only five.
Five. But still,
I'll never forget two things.
For anybody to survive that.
9-11, obviously. I'm forgetting about 9-11.
Sure.
Yeah. There are two things. Do we have a guest on? The two things I'll never forget is Lenny Skutnik going in there and trying to save the people, and then the guy, when they had the helicopter drop the ladder in, he kept letting the women go, and then eventually he's just sunk, you know, the coldness of the water.
That was a hero.
Right. And this
died
water,
a hero.
The Potomac,
my ass would be up that ladder.
The Potomac River is 35 degrees right now.
Right.
Apparently it was waist-high water that the crash occurred in, so, you know, it's very difficult for these rescue divers, the police and firefighter divers, to go in there and, you know, because it's so cold. So they got they can only spend so much time there. So they were in shifts, you know.
I was surprised to hear that. I think at the deepest in that area, it was like 8 feet deep.
Yeah, you would think
like
a lot deeper.
The water's not very deep there, but I mean, with the temperature of it going in after a collision.
So let's bring in a good friend of mine. I'm not going to give his last name. His name is Mike, but I'm not going to give his last name. And He doesn't want us to tell anybody who he flies for. It's a major airline, but we'll just call him Captain Mike.
Good friend. Just want to pick his brain.
On everything. He's flown in and out of Reagan many, many times. Mike, you there, buddy?
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Mike, real quick, without selling the airline, how many years have you been flying?
So I've been with the airlines for 32 years, and flying in and out of Reagan is probably one of my first flights ever. Uh-huh. When I first started flying with the airlines.
When's the last time you flew into DCA?
I actually landed there yesterday around 1 p.m.
Wow.
Is it? I have a buddy also that flies, and you guys are so kind of unfazed because you do it all the time and everything's so normal and you're just, you know, comfortable. My buddy says it's like he gets paid to drink coffee, largely. Because, you know, it's so automated.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys are there for disasters, you know, to try to avert disaster.
Get people safe.
Have you ever felt, though, that the D.C., because you always hear it's like, you know, it's like kind of a tighter landing relative to everything else. There is so much traffic around it. Do you ever have anxiety flying in there, or are you so used to it?
Pretty much like you said, we're trained so well in flying in and out of those airports. Same like LaGuardia. I would compare Reagan to LaGuardia's airport. And those are my two favorite airplanes to fly in, airports to fly into, because they are very challenging and you have to keep your skills up. But pretty much I always say the hardest part of my job is getting to the airport on time. But before I say anything else, I want to say our hearts and prayers go out to the victims, and we big appreciation for the rescue squad and all the people that are there for this in times when something like this does
happen. Horrifying.
How often do you have to deal with helicopters in this area?
So it's rare. They do point out the traffic to us, and they do tell us. They usually keep them away from our flight path, and we have collision avoidance systems on the aircraft that's called TCAS, and they talk to each other. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the military airplane helicopters, if they have that or not, but usually, and we're trained on that also, it'll tell us traffic, climb or descend. So we have... The airplanes talk to each other.
Yeah, right.
So this something like this should not happen.
So when you're landing at DCA, Mike, are you using the instruments to land? So, in other words, automatic pilot, or are you using your skills? Are you doing it yourself?
Pretty much, if it's visual, good weather conditions, we always use our skills to land.
Okay.
The only time we have to use the instruments and the autopilots to land, if the weather is below landing minimums, which is... IFR Cat 3 landings, stuff like that.
This is just very strange to us that, and we've just kind of asked this question throughout the morning, why there was a Black Hawk helicopter flying so close to the runway, you know, the airport. And I understand it's a big military city, and you got a lot of different VIPs flying in and out. And apparently this was just for training for these pilots. But why a helicopter would be flying so close, especially at night?
Yeah, that's probably why the accident happened. So we have no idea. Obviously, all we know is the facts and what happened, and that there's no survivors. But not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
But we have no idea. But it will eventually come out with the black boxes and the voice recorders on the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to figure out. And ATC's radar systems will see the traffic patterns, and they'll put it all together. And truth will come out eventually.
Right.
From what you've seen, and I'm sure you've watched the news and you've been locked in trying to figure out get as much information as you can. I'm asking you to speculate, but like, what was sort of your instinct right away? Are you thinking, oh, something happened with the helicopter there? Like, what jumped out of you that was unusual, if anything?
So at night, and again, I don't know.
Right. I'm just guessing.
Military helicopters. It's with probably landing at over 100 miles an hour, probably 130, 140 is the speed that we're coming in at, landing at. And the helicopter is probably not lit up and not with no navigation lights would be my guess. But I have no idea because, again, I don't know military helicopters. It's probably just a surprise. It's just sometimes when we're flying around, ATC will say there's traffic, meaning another aircraft. And they give us a clock position, and we could see it at night. It's easier to see because we have navigation lights, but I don't know if the helicopters have that.
Yeah. After something like this, have you already gotten like an email or a text from your bosses kind of talking about this, or how does that work?
So I'm also a training captain. I train brand new captains and brand new first officers in the aircraft. So last night, pretty much as soon as it happened,
right,
we have a text message group chat, and it was lit up pretty much with the story of it happening and everybody giving their thoughts and prayers. That's the biggest thing that everybody was saying on the chat. Nobody is speculating or knows anything, but thanks to the first responders.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Mike, we're going to let you go, buddy. Thanks for chiming in, and let us know if you hear anything else. You can send me a text, buddy, okay?
You got it. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. And again, thoughts and prayers to the families.
Yep.
Yeah, hang in there, man. Be
right,
safe,
buddy.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you can tell people are just kind of like just broken up, shocked. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's just disaster for everyone. It's a disaster of the worst imagination for the families and friends. Mm-hmm. And then it's nightmare fuel for the rest of the world. the rest of the country.
Yeah.
It's just literally nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, just think about all the people that are, you know, Reagan is going to be closed until, I can't imagine.
I think they said they're going to open it today at 11.
I know. I just think it's shocking that it's actually going to open today.
Right.
But I know there's so many flights that have to get in and out, and people I understand go. That. People got to go places, and people pay for these tickets, but it's amazing that the airport's going to be open in 2.5 hours.
Well,
but
we were about to book.
Think about the people that are flying today, and it's all that's going to be in their minds.
We were about to fly next week, and we had actually decided last night before the accident that we would probably just drive. This cements it, though. I don't need to hop on a plane this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I need to let a little time pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll get more information on now that the sun's up and you can see everything that's going on.
But
in the river.
Guess it's because I didn't drive by it this morning because it's not in my way. But I guess it's more closer to Audi Field versus where the Air Florida was, which is kind of over here near, you know, where we head home.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. When I woke up and I saw the news, I take GW Parkway on the way to work. I expected that to kind of be shut down because in my head I was thinking,
Air Florida.
Oh, I'm going to see this over here on the left, but it's on the other part of the Potomac.
Yeah, we didn't see anything coming in.
Yeah.
I thought Cakes might have. You used to take the parkway that way.
I take the beat-up parkway. It goes nowhere near the crash site.
Yeah, that would be another exit. That would be like
you take the exit before.
Yeah.
I hop off onto 395 towards downtown.
But I guess if you were driving to MGM after, you would definitely pass
you
could
go right by it.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm sure there's a bunch of people have seen stuff and driving by, you know, it's just, it's kind of surreal. It's just a terrible situation all the way around.
I couldn't imagine being in it. You know, we've all dealt with loss, but I don't know that we've dealt with sudden loss when Craig passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course.
It's been
Jason's
a couple decades.
His parents died in that plane crash.
Egyptian Air.
Yeah.
The pilot, that was a suicidal
pilot, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both parents, my buddy Chris.
Dude, apropos of nothing, but I saw that Tesla is just, they're putting out their driverless cars, and they, like literally, it's one thing to have it like auto drive and you're sitting there, but literally, you know, driverless cars, which we've seen some of these Ubers, but they're having the car, there was a promo video that they tweeted of the car from the factory, right? So just fresh off the factory line, driving to like
the dealership
or like to the ship it was gonna take it to or whatever, like with nobody in the car,
right?
And I have a friend that got into one of those driverless Ubers.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
And any issues with it or was
no that... I'm not doing it in my lifetime. I will never do
no,
it.
No, your friend, did they have
no,
they had no issues.
Yeah, they thought it was
all
cool.
Good.
They thought it was cool.
Hmm.
I would never do it.
I like being control driving.
Yeah, but if you think about, you know, the thousands of flights that are happening right now, if at some point there weren't thousands and thousands of flights and thousands of airports and all that stuff, it started out small and it grew big. So these driverless taxis, it's the beginning of what might be the case, the norm in 50 years.
No, I agree.
50
we'll
years,
there
might
dead.
Be nobody driving.
I know, but we'll all be dead. Thank God I won't have to deal with it.
Because our grandkids
years,
will.
I'll be 104. I'll be 104 years old.
In 50 years?
In 50 years.
Yeah. Your bones will be. Let's go to Glenn. It says he flew in a Black Hawk from the Pentagon. That's interesting. Glenn, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, I've been listening to you since the 90s, and I never called, but that kind of freaked me out because I might have been in that helicopter once. I've been doing IT work at the Pentagon for 15 years, and these training flights that they do, it's not like they're teaching some noob who doesn't know how to fly. They're doing it to maintain hours and proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So they offered to, you know, they're like a full flight sometimes, so they offered to bring some people from the Pentagon. I got the chance, and we took off from the Pentagon.
Did you like it? Was it cool?
It's pretty cool, man. But I tell you one thing I noticed. It's really loud in there because they got the jet engines.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was listening, like in the 6 o'clock hour, you play the ATC audio.
Yeah.
Really early on, you hear somebody with a big beep in the background. That's the Black Hawk. And I heard it. And right after they said something from the Black Hawk, which I couldn't understand, you heard another pilot say, "Did you guys see that? Or what was that?" And that was it. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it was just chatter. But, man, I got a picture of me standing in front of it. And y'all were talking about seeing them helicopters coming in the Pentagon like all the time. Well, it's the same ones. So sometimes they're all blacked out, but the Army got this one that's all painted Army colors and green. That's when I flew in, and it came into the Pentagon all the time doing training flights up and back.
Yeah, I see those green ones all the time. A lot as I drive the GW Parkway.
You also see the president ones. Like, I don't know
Marine
if it's
one.
A...
Marine one, yeah.
I don't know if it's the dark vice green. President, it's not yeah. president, or just their personnel.
No. The Marine ones, that, those are called the white tops. They're bigger, and the top of them are painted white. Mm-hmm. Those aren't Black Hawks.
Right.
They're saying it was definitely a Black Hawk, and I don't know what they were doing south by Reagan. You know, we took off with the Pentagon, went north, and came back, flew over Roslyn, circled the Pentagon, landed. I guess they're getting back and forth from Belvoir.
Yeah,
but of all the stories y'all mentioned, the one that really makes sense is that he probably did a visual ID on the plane that was the next in line,
not the one that was
right behind him, and just maintained his heading right into it.
Yeah.
So, love you, Junks, man. Bad day. Sorry, it's the first time I ever had a call. But
thanks, man.
No, thanks for listening. I appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate the input.
I'm watching Fox 5. I think the local news, they now say they've identified 27 victims from the plane and one from the helicopter recovered.
Yeah. I mean, I assume they're going to get them all, but it's going to take a while.
If you can, imagine some of those bodies are probably charred. Who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
I just hope it was instantaneous and nobody felt anything. That's the kind of stuff can you imagine knowing you got hit and then plunging?
Oh, it's terrifying.
I can't even imagine that.
Nobody
could. I hope that's not the case.
That's only going to last 2 seconds.
A few seconds, but
it's terrifying two seconds.
From only being a few hundred feet in the air, yeah, you're right.
All right, we'll continue to give updates throughout the show as we get them. They keep streaming in at this point. Jason saw 30 bodies recovered. Sierra Fox from Fox 5 is reporting 27 bodies from the plane have been found, one from the helicopter. We'll continue to give updates on this sad day here in Washington, D.C. We're the Junks. We'll be right back. We're going to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, where we're joined by Sierra Fox from Fox 5 D.C. She was one of the first on the scene at Reagan National last night as the disaster unfolded. I don't believe she slept all night. Sierra, thanks for taking some time. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I really wish this was under better circumstances.
Yeah, us too.
Yep. Sierra, where were you when you got the news, and then how quickly were you on the scene?
Yeah, well, as you know, as a journalist here in Washington, D.C., you never know what you're walking into each and every day. So I was actually working on a story about a woman who was robbed in Silver Spring, Maryland, when my executive producer called me around 9:45 and told me to get over to Reagan National Airport as soon as I could. And as we were driving there, it was actually pretty easy, not too much traffic. But then all of a sudden, I started seeing so many flashing blue lights, the most I've probably ever seen in my entire life, specifically as we started to pass by Gravelly Point Park, where a lot of people go to watch planes pass overhead.
Yeah, I've done that before. It's cool. Yeah.
Exactly. If people enjoy doing that, and as we got closer to the airport, it was just very hard to navigate and huge law enforcement presence. And when I went inside, you know, usually an airport is hustling and bustling, but it was a ghost town, completely empty, besides a few law enforcement officers, and then the media presence was overwhelming.
Yeah, I would think the scene inside the airport would be chaotic. Had they just evacuated a lot of people once the incident occurred? Like, why was it so desolate inside when you got there?
Exactly. When I arrived, they had already stopped all flights that were coming in and potentially departing from the airport. So no one was arriving or leaving DCA. Now, I did speak with one woman. There were a couple stragglers, unfortunately, people who maybe didn't have access to leave early. And one person I spoke with actually just decided to arrive for flight very, very early. I think it wasn't until the morning, and she got there hours and hours ahead of time. But it was just, when I told her what happened and what was going on and she figured out she may be stuck there, she was just shocked. Her jaw dropped.
Right. How many, I don't know if you did, but I assume maybe you saw some family members kind of lingering around or friends to pick up people. Were there many of those? We saw the one guy that was kind of on social media waiting for his wife. Were there others?
Yeah, so we do know there's a family reunification center at Terminal 1, which is where they're holding the press conferences. And if I may, I'll just kind of recap what I know so far about this incident. So we know that there is an investigation underway by the National Transportation Safety Board into how and why this midair collision happened over the Potomac River. This tragic incident happened just before 9 p.m. on Wednesday, January 29th, so yesterday. It was an American Airlines commercial flight 5342 from Wichita, Kansas, trying to land at DCA, but ended up crashing with a military helicopter, which had three soldiers on board. It appears the Army was doing some sort of training, but we're still waiting to confirm the exact mission. We know that there were 60 passengers on the plane, including four crew members. Fox 5 did get a statement from U.S. Figure Skating confirming some of those people on board were athletes and coaches returning home from the National Development Camp held in conjunction with the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Wichita, Kansas. So it's absolutely sad. Right now I'm actually looking at MedStar Capital's Iceplex, and just knowing that so many young lives may have been lost is devastating. And I just received an update from D.C. Fire and EMS Chief John Donnelly, who did confirm there are no expected survivors. So this is switching from a rescue to recovery operation. So far, 27 bodies from the plane have been found, one body from the helicopter. Obviously, this is not the outcome many were hoping for. And I'm posting all these details on my account at the Sierra Fox, if anyone wants to read all the latest press conference notes there.
Well, Sierra, we appreciate the time. We know you've had a long night. Hopefully you can get a little bit of rest.
I'm
sure you'll be busy with the details.
Are you back home now? Are you back home now, or are you still out there at the airport?
I am, yes. I am home, but being a newsie, you know, once there's breaking news, you kind of can't keep your mind and yourself away from it. So I just want to stay up to date with the latest and make sure I provide those updates. And again, I live not too far from MedStar Capital's Iceplex, where I know a lot of people are heartbroken because they know some of those people who are on the plane. So I'm sure I'll be speaking with people there shortly.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sierra, we appreciate the coverage and the hustle getting out there so quickly. I know it's a tough situation for everybody involved, but you're doing a great job. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sierra.
Thank you both.
Yep.
All right. That's, thank you.
Sierra Fox at the Sierra Fox on Twitter if you want to give her a follow.
I mean, it's exhausting for the news people that have to cover it, right? I mean, we do a four-hour show, and then we can kind of go home and then try to, you know, process and go on with our day a little bit. But when you're in the news business, you know, you got to be on call. You got to go out there. You got to be overnight.
You're doing live shots.
Yeah. You know.
And I know it's part of her job and every other reporter's job, but to go and, like, interview survivors, you know, like parents or, you know, people whose parents died on the plane, like, that's just gut-wrenching.
That reporter asked to see the cell phone. I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do that.
That was wild.
That's a bridge too far.
That's wild.
If I had to do my job,
yeah,
I can ask the questions maybe, but I'm not going to say, can I see the last message you changed?
It just seems like too invasive and too fresh. You know, like it just happened like an hour ago.
I mean, you kind of have to. In this day and age, when you're
job.
Also a lot of people, you know, stolen valor, faking stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of have to fact check it and confirm.
I guess I could see that as being the reason, but still seems kind of ghoulish, but I guess that's just part of the gig. It's part of what you sign up for as a reporter.
I mean, it's devastating that anybody's, you know, passing away in this, but I mean, the fact that there were figure skaters, I mean,
well, just some kids.
Yeah, they could have been 12, 13 years old.
Yeah, it's just awful.
I'm sure they were. They were juniors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drabby had a Facebook photo of a bunch of them training.
Drab's going through, like, the photos of one of the figure skaters, and they're, like, their Instagram. They have them, like, wheels up with the wings going, like, Wichita to DCA.
Yeah, it's too much for me. I can't process all that. I gotta punch out.
Has all the figure skaters together. Looks like they're having a great time at, like, some competition.
I'm sure they did. It's too much.
It's brutal.
I just don't even
want to see the photos.
Yeah, I just have, like, to act like that's not even a thing.
You've said you think about death every day. Cakes is a little bit
times
that
a day.
Way.
Yeah, okay. I've never been that type. 100 times a day.
I've never been that type. I try and focus on the positive, but this week with Pete Medhurst's funeral, a guy who was born the same year as us.
Yeah.
A friend of ours, and then this, it's like, man.
Well, not only that.
Well, welcome to Cakes and I's brain.
Another local radio guy who was our age passed away over the weekend, works for a competitor. He just passed away.
I don't know. I saw that story.
Wes Johnson, we talked about him, the Caps PA guy, was fighting for his life in ICU, but it sounds like he's improving.
Oh, is that true?
Which is good. Like,
that didn't sound good the other day.
He's talking, which is good.
Oh, that's good.
It's been a really rough week and a half. It's been tough, and this is obviously a disaster of great magnitude.
Wonder how many people that were driving on that. I don't know what bridge is closest to where the accident was, but you know all those people driving there last night.
Right. Did that pretty bridge, that new video. Like kind of pretty bridge that lights up at night? You know that one? It's like kind of cool, huh?
The white one.
It's kind of cool. It's a new one, right over the Audis. The one that goes into Anacostia.
Yeah.
I think it's called Douglas.
It's a cool bridge.
I mean, I wonder how many people saw that.
I saw somebody has like a dash cam with a different angle that was, I think, approaching that bridge that you're talking about.
Right. I bet as the days progress, you're going to see more and more angles of it.
Sure.
Probably a lot closer than you care to see.
Yeah.
Like I say, a catastrophe for the families. Unimaginable. And then for all of the rest of us, it's nightmare fuel.
Right.
It's just another thing to worry about. Are you worried?
You're going to be looking for helicopters the next time you take off.
You're going to be I mean, you kind of do look around, but you're used to like having mishaps like taking off or like literally maybe you land and then you roll into somebody or you don't really think 400 feet above you're going to get hit a freaking plane.
I was just on a plane to LA. You guys know this. Maybe it's a bury my head in the sand thing. Now,
well, you definitely bury your head in the sand.
I'm often asleep before takeoff.
Right. That's a luxury you have. I don't have the same luxury.
It's a obnoxious flex by you. Because most of us
not a flex.
No, it is. Most of us are miserable.
Yeah, most of us are white knuckled on the plane.
It's
most
not
of
even
the time.
Being white knuckled. It's uncomfortable. I don't know how you can sit there and just doze off within 5 minutes. It's amazing
to
gift.
Me,
it's a gift from God.
The worst part about this incident is that they were literally 5 to 10 seconds from landing.
Mm-hmm.
They were that close to be just wheels down, safe, cell phone pops on, you're able to take your seat off, taxi to the terminal.
I don't know if that really matters. Does it matter if it happened 3 minutes before?
It just sucks.
You're at the finish line.
You're within sight of the airport. Yeah. Like the airport is right there.
People are already thinking about.
You're looking out your window. You're like, oh, there's the Capitol.
Thinking about getting home.
There's the monument.
Like, I got to figure out, am I going to be able to get my rental car?
Right.
You know what I mean? Where's baggage claim?
People are already thinking about, what time am I going to get to bed?
Yeah. Is so-and-so stuck in traffic going to be able to pick me up from the airport?
When you're 300 feet off the ground, you're chalking it up as a safe landing. At least I am. I have.
Now you're not going to do that anymore.
I mean, it's going to make me think twice.
No, I'm not going to think about being safe until I'm off the plane, because you could be a Gonzaga thing where you're on the tarmac and then another plane runs into you.
That's definitely true. There's a million things
basically
to worry
you feel
about.
Safe when you're in the terminal.
Yeah.
You're walking off with your bag and you're in the freaking terminal.
But then when you want to try to balance it out, because you can just obsess on the negative, which I do, but then I try to balance it out and go, there's 9 million flights a day. Like, literally. You know,
and it's been 16 years.
The percentages.
I mean, it's a million of them. And so you just got to just chill.
It hits harder because it happened, like, right down the street.
Yeah.
From an airport that we've all flown out of multiple times. Flown in and out of dozens, if not 100 times over the years.
I'm pretty much
going to
nix that airport.
28,000 flights a day
in
America.
There anyway.
It's terrible to get
like
in and out. I hate the parking.
Dulles is easier.
This seems extreme.
I'm a BWI guy.
This seems very extreme.
Dulles is 3 minutes from my house.
What would happen? What would the repercussions be if just closed Reagan National? Said, you know what? It's too dangerous. It's too much congestion.
They're not going to do it.
What if they just said, sorry, this is no longer a viable airport. It's too dangerous.
Well, BWI and Dulles would just get that much more crowded and busier.
Maybe they should make it just so Congress people can use it. You know what I mean? Or
I mean, Reagan's got to have some of the shortest. I think it's got some of the shortest runways. It's got to be one of the smaller airports in the country.
I would assume, yeah.
Jason's friend said he loves flying into Reagan.
Because it's fun. It's actually something to do.
It's a challenge.
It tests him.
Yeah.
I don't want my pilot to be tested on the takeoffs and landings. I want it to be smooth sailing.
Right.
I want him to look at the runway and say, that's the longest runway I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know, but pilots, smooth sailing is boring for them.
I like it boring.
Is. My buddy, I tell you.
When it comes to flying, boring is my, that is my number one seed.
Yeah, of course.
Have a nice, boring flight.
Of course.
My buddy says he gets paid to drink coffee. It's that's a great all you do.
That's called the dream gig.
And then you just drink coffee and the plane flies itself.
Even Jason Stretch said his biggest worry is getting to the airport on time.
Yeah.
So it's the drive.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, they don't even think about stuff like this.
You have to focus on things. But like a guy like Cakes and I, not JP, who has this weird ability to think he's invincible.
it's not true.
You think about all the possibilities, then you try to bounce it out with the positives, but then the possibilities go back out, and then you bounce it out with the positives. It's a war in your brain.
It's a back and forth at all times.
Yeah.
All right, thanks again to Sierra Fox for joining us. She's at the Sierra Fox on Twitter. Her latest update from just about under an hour ago, 27 bodies from the plane have been found, one from the helicopter from the collision last night around 9 p.m. Right outside of D.C. Reagan National Airport. We're the Junks on 106.7 The Fan. We'll be right back. You could win an ultimate tournament trip to Las Vegas just by listening to 106.7 The Fan. Win a trip for you and three friends during the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Flights, hotel, and $20,000 in spending money. Just download the free Odyssey app. Listen to The Fan for at least 1 hour. Listen tomorrow for at least an hour for another entry. It's Odyssey's Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. For more information, go to odyssey.com/slamdunk.
Have you seen any of the additional video of Liam Cohen, who's now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I saw a quick video of him doing the weird Duval thing in front of like a group of like 50 or 100 people, like in a, I don't know if it's a theater or a conference room or what it was.
You told me what Duval is, and I already forgot.
It's the county.
It's a county.
I understand, but why is it a thing that they
say
it that way?
It's like a rallying cry for the Jags. I don't know. Like, I guess they have
they feel pride in the county.
They have weird civic pride down in Duval County, Florida.
All right, I'm from PG County. I understand having some pride. I actually do have some pride in PG County.
You have Maryland pride.
But we don't go PG County. Like, no, why?
I think it also might be. I think that's
what I'm asking.
It might be in a rap song. Like,
okay.
Let me see.
He looks like the whitest guy ever, so he shouldn't be like trying
referencing
to rap.
A rap,
in my opinion. It's missing something. Something's getting lost in the
translation. Apparently, he said it the wrong way, but it seems like everything. I just saw.
I live in this county. I live in PG.
There you go.
I saw a video of him walking into his office the first time.
I'm never going to.
He doesn't. I actually hope he succeeds, but he doesn't look like an NFL head coach, and he doesn't
like
look like somebody that's going to inspire men.
Kid.
He looks like a super dork, but he can scheme up good offense. Is why he got the gig.
Well, I mean, just think about Mike McDaniel. I mean, he doesn't look like, he just looks like a math nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like should be working some IT company.
Yeah.
You guys will like this. A radio DJ popularized Duval in the 90s.
Oh, very good.
Also, it was a radio DJ.
Okay.
But yeah, you see, I do think he didn't have the emphasis on the right part. So he screwed it up. Drab, I think, did it correctly that it's do is supposed to get the emphasis.
Yeah, the extra U's. Yeah, like boo.
It's embarrassing.
And I know that you know, the higher-ups in PG County, they want people to call it Prince George's County.
Yeah.
If you're from PG County, you'll never call it Prince George's County.
No, I call it Piggy County.
You'll never ever call it that.
Piggy.
I've never once heard one person from PG County call it Prince George's County.
It's not really a thing.
It's not a thing.
For people of our generation, it's always PG County. I actually have more PG County pride than I do Bowie pride. I have like no Bowie. Weird, but that's
true. I guess. I don't know.
I feel like PG County is more of a flex. Bowie's just kind of embarrassing.
I don't know. We had the Bay Sox, but now they dropped the Bowie,
well,
and now they're just Chesapeake.
That's a big slap in the face.
Oh, I didn't realize they dropped Bowie.
Yeah,
when I saw Mr. Mercier, shout out, he's our old soccer coach, basketball coach, whatever. Uh-huh. I saw him.
Baseball coach.
At one of our appearances. He was kind of upset because I think he works for the Bay Sox as an announcer.
Oh, does it? He's an announcer?
I might be botching what it is, but he's a scorekeeper or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Scoreboard? Totally
he doesn't strike me as
no,
an
no,
announcer.
He's not doing play-by-play. No, I understand. But I think scoreboard.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. Well, you might announce 5-1
or whatever. That sounds like the perfect chill gig for, I don't know how old Mr. Mercer is. Right. He's got to be in his 70s, yes. Probably close to 80. Being a scoreboard operator at a minor league baseball park is like the perfect senior citizen gig. Like you're old, you're watching baseball, and you're pressing a few buttons.
He's wrong with that.
Shrapnel.
He was nice to come to appearance. He came with your brother.
He's very nice.
I don't know if they came together.
I'm not joining on Mr. Mercer. I'm just saying he's kind of an older dude. He's into baseball. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, like, it's a
good friend of mine who retired.
Is that the dad of the guy we went to high school with?
A good friend of mine who retired.
I wonder what he's doing now.
He recently passed, but his retirement job was working at Nats Park.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it.
Right.
He was an usher there.
You know, there's a lot of people seat, retire working golf
clean
courses.
Off your seat, set you down.
Yeah, he worked right there in the learners section.
Yeah.
So
section.
Yeah, he got
trying to get some big fat tips.
Bougie.
No, I never.
I've never tipped an usher.
I have
never.
When your seat's wet. When your seat's wet,
you're supposed to tip an usher.
If he comes over there, $2.
They wipe the peanuts off or the moisture off. They wipe your seat down. You gotta give him $2.
You gotta give him a few bucks. If they wipe your seat.
So you'll tip an usher, but you won't tip a maid in a hotel?
Yeah, because I don't see the maid. And by the way, the maids never do anything anymore. They don't do anything.
I think their workload has been reduced.
I go to hotels all the time. They never do anything while I'm there. Ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, if you stay multiple days, they now want you to keep the towels.
Kind of depends on where.
You got to tell them, well, I don't stay in the Four Seasons. I stay in like Hyatts and Homewood Suites. And, you know, they never do anything.
I'm much more likely to tip a maid than I am an usher who
well, a lot of times when you
sweeps peanut shells off my seat.
When you check into the hotel, they'll tell you when you're checking in at the front desk, look, the housekeeper won't be there every single day. So if you need something, you have to call us to request it.
You know how depressing it is to go back to your room at, say, you sleep there, you go to a volleyball tournament, you come back in the afternoon, and they didn't do anything.
They didn't do the bed.
Room tired thing, beds, right thing.
Shower's terrible. Nasty. No extra towels.
Kicks is talking all this tipping smack about the maids.
Yeah.
His most infamous incident, tipping.
Stealing the tip.
Yeah, it was paying the tip back.
I reduced the tip. I didn't steal the tip. I just
Rom put out $10.
He did,
and you made change.
Dude, I clearly had a rough few days at the tables. If I was trying to steal back $5,
we always end up devolving into tip talk.
Yeah,
but I resent, and I've said it a million times, going to like Subway or Firehouse Subs or Jersey Mike's or whatever.
Yeah,
and they always want to add a tip for your sandwich maker or whatever. And I always put no.
Yeah,
you know what?
Sorry,
EB. I was always adding $1, but actually at Firehouse. They like me because I speak Spanish to them. And this, I go there, I don't know, once a week, once every 2 weeks. She told me, she said, don't put in the tip. I was like, what do you mean I want to put in a tip? She said that the tips on the screen, if you're putting a credit card, they only go to the boss.
No.
The big boss, like the franchise owner.
Oh, so they don't even
care. So if you
want
to give a tip, put it in the little slot, like an actual dollar, but not that one. So now if I want a tip at a place like you're talking about, whether it's Firehouse or Subway or any of those, give them cash.
I got it. All right, let's go to Dave. Dave is an usher. Where are you an usher at, Dave?
I'm an usher at Nats Park, but it's interesting that in 2004, 5, and 6, I was with the Bowie Bay Sox doing the scoreboard operating.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And
you were young.
They paid us a whopping $25 a game. But yes, when I receive a tip at Nats Park, it's a surprise. I work in the upper deck on the third base, up between third base and home plate, and I love it up there. And it is my retirement gig.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. And why do you like? You must be a people person, because I think I would be annoyed by everyone. But you
it's
like
to watch
that.
A game.
Is it to watch a game, or is
it's
it
obviously
you like
a baseball fan?
Okay, you're a baseball fan, but you obviously like interacting with people.
Oh yeah, huge baseball fan. Just as a background, I delivered mail for 40 years. I currently drive for Lyft for 10 years. And then in the spring and summer, I get out of the car and I go up, watch the baseball game. They pay me, they feed me, and I watch a ball game for free. And the concerts, look what's coming up. You can't beat it.
I guess. But again, you love people.
Yeah.
You like random
people. You also
people.
Like staying up late.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. I know he doesn't like I know he doesn't like the product on the field the last 5 years.
What time do you get home for a typical home game on a Tuesday?
About between 10:30 and 11. I live in Waldorf, and I also park across the street from the ballpark, so it helps too. I get one of those Zone 6 parking passes, so sweet. You can't beat it.
Nice. All access. Right, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
It's way too late for me.
Did I see? Is it Billy Joel and Sting coming to Nats Park? It's a pretty good double bill.
Not bad.
It's pretty solid.
You see, there was video of Billy Idol yesterday. You know how the paparazzi just caught him, and he was like going to like a foot doctor or something. Okay. I don't know where he's going. I thought he was going like a podiatrist or maybe somewhere. Maybe it was a dermatologist. And he just looks old and everything.
Well, he is old.
I know, but remember, he performed here about 7 or 8 years ago when they had that winter thing. Didn't Billy Idol perform?
He was at one of the HF festivals.
Dude, he's in all those commercials.
At Meriwether Post. Commercials?
When they had the Caps played their winter thing at the baseball stadium.
The Winter Classic.
Yeah. I think Billy Idol
performed at that?
I think you might have
forgotten that. He's 69.
Yeah. He just looks hard. I don't know.
The best Billy Idol story is when he did the HF Festival. I can't remember what year it was at Meriwether Post.
Maybe like 2008, it was like 2009
or 10.
Yeah. So Blue Shorts was in charge of getting, like, bringing the food to Billy Idol and his crew and I guess his band. And Blue Shorts had, like, 8 stacks of, like, you know, cardboard boxes and, you know, like, right. To-go containers. He tripped and food
fell everything. Yeah.
He's stuffing the food back into the boxes.
He gave Idol a dirty sandwich. Dirty steak and cheese.
He had to deliver the food to him like on their bus.
What's the commercial? What commercial is Billy Idol? He's in...
I think it's for like an IT company. I don't know.
It's like
the name
Salesforce
of it.
Or something. Yeah. It's about calling everyone a rock star.
It's about being a rock star,
Yeah.
I interviewed Billy Idol as Rick Valdez.
Nice.
Might have to play that.
I've completely forgotten about that.
He said he got psyched to come to the area because the last time he was here, he got hooked by 2 chicks.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, and backstage. Wow. He says, I always remember the D.C. area.
That's a memorable thing.
You know how many times that's happened to him?
2005 for him. He was at M&T Bank.
Must have been a silly smoker.
Jason, do you know Billy Idol's real name? There's a reason he's called Billy Idol.
No, I don't. I
believe his name is William Broad.
No. Okay.
Billy Idol just sounds better.
Billy Broad.
It's a better stage name.
Billy Broad would have been okay, but Billy Idol is one of the all-time great names.
It's a fantastic name. All right, we are going to continue to give you the details as they stream in from the plane crash as it collided with a Black Hawk Army helicopter last night around 9 p.m. At this point, there have been 27 bodies recovered from the airplane, 1 from the helicopter. As we get more details, we'll give them to you throughout the show. We're the Junks on the Fan.